Click.
Welcome to episode 13 of Podigis, your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashton McDonald.
Hi.
And Asher Softman.
Hi.
We actually have breaking news this week. On September 6th, the Digi Egg counter reached zero in a Bodemon hatch, and after a couple of hours, a new page was revealed. There'll be a link in the show notes that has a silhouette of Agumon and a much taller Tai, along with a description of Tai's morning routine, which many are speculating will be the first scene of the new series. There's basically no new info in this reveal. There's also a hint on the site that another Digi Egg will appear soon, so most people are assuming that there will be a Digi Egg mini reveal for each character. We probably have at least a couple months before any real information about the new series. So Ashley and I are here from the future to follow up about some feedback on the last episode. The first piece of feedback came from ShawneeMac23 on our comment section, and he had this theory that I will read. Also, I have a crazy nonsensical theory about Tai's hair being so large at this age. He must be stealing it from Kari. Her hair throughout the series is really short for her age, whereas Tai's hair is gigantic for any age, but especially so in this movie. Therefore, I posit that through some sort of supernatural shenanigans, that Tai is somehow stealing his little sister's hair. It's also possible that Kari, being the self-sacrificial person she is, chose to give Tai most of her hair through some sort of strange misguided Kari logic. Or, you know, it could be just a weird anime hairstyle, but nah.
Man, wait, girls can't even have hair in this show? Come on. Kari is the source of all the problems.
I like just how out there this theory is.
It's because Kari is an alien.
Yeah, she's a hair transplanting alien.
Yes.
That's what we've concluded. Mm-hmm. The other piece I thought was interesting for ShawneeMac23's comment was, he said, lastly, a quick general thought on the overall three-part dub Digimon movie. It must have really stunk for Laura Jill Miller, Kari's voice actress, having to do Kari's voice at three very disparate ages in one go. That seems like it could get very confusing very fast. And yeah, especially, so we haven't seen 02 yet, but we got a taste of her voice in the narration of these movies. So
yeah,
I find it fascinating how it's the same voice actress. I don't think I was really aware of that as a kid, that Kari in 02 and Pride Adventure sounds so different, but still very similar. It totally sounds like a person who's grown up, and I think that's, not knowing too much about voice actresses, it's really impressive to me that she's able to do like the same character but different ages. So yeah, and especially so when it's like in the same movie, you know, just like probably doing the same voice in the same day, or different voices in the same day.
Really? I can imagine that they just recorded all of like O2's parts at one point and then did O1.
I assume when they were producing the movie, they would have produced it after, while doing 02, and would have then given her new lines in adventure voice. The next piece of feedback is from Lucas Solon on our comment section, and he said, I watched the Japanese version of the adventure movie for the first time before listening to this, and I gotta say, the Bolero soundtrack drove me crazy with how out of place it was in every sequence featuring it. I specifically recall hearing it both when the cat was chasing Koromon and when Greymon and Paramon were fighting, and just sighing. These are action sequences, and this music is just so calm and passive, it doesn't fit at all. This isn't to say that Dove's soundtrack is the most fitting option, but at least got the tone right. I think we both agree that, I mean, we talk in this episode about how Bolero was really getting on our nerves, and yeah, it's so, I mean, so out of place.
I haven't seen much of the original series in Japanese, but anytime I would see a fight in the sub and there would be Bolero, I'd be like, this doesn't fit at all. Like, I'm so confused by why this is the fight song.
I think it's the fight song only in this movie. I forget where I read it, actually, but I read recently and it made sense, but I can't confirm or deny that Bolero is used throughout the original series to harken back to home, that it's like tied to the real world. So it's in these movies in the real world, I don't know enough.
I haven't seen enough to know if that's true.
Yeah, I wish I had known that going into the season, seeing the scenes that I had, but yeah. And I forget where I read that. The last piece of feedback was from, I don't know how to pronounce this, it's like Kaoru, but Kiaro on our comment section, and they said, a quick note about the OVA dub versus sub differences. I find it somewhat ironic that the dub is much more exciting than the sub. In the series, the sub was consistently more exciting, and the music placement was a big part of that. For some reason, the OVAs, particularly the next one and the third one, have a distinct lack of music or any of the well-known Digimon themes. That's really sad, considering a small edit in the background music could have made everything so much more interesting. Having the Braveheart or Butterfly playing during the Greymon versus Paramon battle would have also helped to separate the series from Pokemon, and might have been able to be considered a more accurate representation of the series. This goes along with the last bit of feedback that, yeah, the music placement in the Japanese version of these movies, OVAs, was really weird. I can understand in the first that maybe while it wasn't being produced, they hadn't finalized the insert songs yet, except for Butterfly, because clearly that's at the end. But that did seem like it was a separate thing altogether. But yeah, there's no excuse for a war game. But the one interesting point I wanted to bring up was this article written by, so there's going to be a link in the show notes. Well, I'm not sure what they prefer to be known by, but they actually commented in our comment section with the name LibraSnakes13. And so they wrote this article describing the differences, their impressions between our war game, the Japanese, and the dub. And what I found really cool about this article was the observation that Bolero is played throughout our war game and reflects the structure of the movie. So here are the words from that article. Ravel's Bolero starts slow and builds and builds and builds upon itself. It starts with a slow drum beat and ends with blaring trumpets and a crashing beat. This is exactly what our war game is about. A threat whose strength increases slowly and slowly until it becomes an almost unstoppable threat. Great use of that song. And yeah, that's a great observation. I wish we had been smart enough to make that. But I still think it's so weird because it's like that I can look back and be like, oh, that was a really smart choice. I did not like it though, personally. Especially, I mean, I'll record this now. It's been several months since we recorded this episode. So it's been a while since we've seen the movie now. But I remember in almost every scene, the dub soundtrack being more interesting and engaging. I don't think we actually talked about it too much in what we recorded though. But yeah, I mean, it was boring at times.
Bolero compete with Funk's Your Brother? I mean, it's just not going to.
I don't even know which song that is.
Right about now.
Oh, that was the worst part. That was the worst part. But, I mean,
1 week by Bare Naked Ladies.
Anyway, I mean, the music, it's weird to look back because it's so 90s. But I think that's part of the charm.
The 90s are the best.
One of the pieces of feedback I wanted to comment on was from Diabetes without E's from Reddit. And so they just pointed out that the quote from our last episode about the drivers whom Agumon jumps over, and they say, but you're driving. And anyway, they say that won the draft. And yeah, we should have more people commenting telling us who won the draft, because we should make it more of a competition. And so I can beat Ashley and Asher.
No, I'm going to win all the drafts.
Yeah, you should all do that. Let us know who won each time.
Not Asher. JK, I love Asher.
This week we're covering the movie Our War Game, which is the second chunk of the Digimon movie released in the US. So here's a quick recap.
This movie takes place after season one.
A digi-egg hatches with a corrupted Digimon that starts snacking on the internet. Kai tries to summon all the kids to his apartment, but is terrible at using the phone. Then he and Izzy Skype with TK and Matt, who call in remotely from Summer Wars.
The virus digivolves rapidly into Diaboramon, launches a missile, and duplicates himself exponentially. Also, Tai's mom tries to bake a cake.
Tai and Matt fall into the internet and help Metal Garurumon and WarGreymon fuse together into Omegamon, making shippers scream. Izzy slows down the last Diaboramon by flooding him with YouTube comments, and then Omegamon stabs him in the head.
My favorite is the use of Bare Naked Ladies 1 week.
My favorite is the Digimon soundtrack.
Yeah, can we just throw that out there? My favorite is the Digimon soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, it is the best part of this movie.
Especially comparing it to the original Japanese. Like, I like a lot of the insert songs in the Japanese, but I think as a whole, the songs work a lot better in the dub than in the sub in the Japanese.
Although I'm still trying to figure out why Funk's Your Brother or whatever that song is played in the first one. That one's a little jarring.
Yeah, that was weird. Although it's better than Bolero, so.
No, that's true. Yeah, it's still a step up.
I don't mind Bolero. Bolero, when it is repeated 20 times. Oh my god. I really liked how the character models are all subtly different than the end of the adventure. Did they ever explicitly say how long it's been since the end?
No, but they all do seem older.
But like in like minor ways, right?
Yeah. Wait, I mean, Tai said he was in junior high school. He was in elementary school before.
And Joe is taking an entrance exam or something.
Yeah, Joe's taking high school entrance exams. So it actually must be almost, I guess, maybe a year before season two.
No.
2 years?
Well, but wait, because Yoli looks super young. Wait, now I'm just confused.
Yeah, and Kari still looks, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so adding to the confusion of the ages, Well, I didn't realize that, like, there's a different Nagami Taichi in the manga. Anyway, adding to the confusion, in the English dub, he said junior high school, but in Japanese, he says elementary school, so...
Yeah.
But that would make somewhat more sense, because, so in Adventure, in Japanese, Tai is 11, in the dub, he's 10, so that would be 5th grade in the dub, which, to me, wouldn't be elementary school anyway, but I mean, I guess that's all... You can have elementary school goes up to 6th grade or something.
Yeah.
I'd like to think it's, like, a year later.
Yeah.
Although, wait, in... According to this... In the dub, Tai goes from being 10 in Adventure to 16 in 02.
That doesn't make any sense.
But it goes from being in 5th grade to 9th grade.
Well, he is in high school.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. Because, yeah, this is claiming that in the English, like, that the dub made him a year younger for Adventure and made him 2 years older than he was supposed to be in Japanese in 02. I like looking at the description of... Tai's occupation on the Digimon Wiki page, and it's Digidestined, Tamer, Student, Digital World Diplomat, General, Legendary Hero. So apparently he had a different voice actor in... Oh, no, not... Never mind. In the 02 movie that we haven't seen yet. He has a different voice actor.
Yeah, Joshua Seth quit.
I'd like to think this is a year later. Someone will correct us if we are off, though.
Yeah, the internet's good at that.
And, yeah, I like how, like, everyone's, like, hairstyle is different. I feel like their body types, like, they didn't look like they'd grown that much since...
Some of them did.
Like, Joe did, I think.
Yeah, Joe looked... older. Matt and Tai did a bit too. Izzy did, actually. Izzy looked a lot taller.
Izzy in some frames looked really short though. Like, I forget when, but when he's like getting drinks from Tai's mom, he's like half her height.
Yeah, but he still looked taller than he did in the show.
I guess.
He was like, what, 3 feet tall in the show?
I just feel like that's just like an animation style thing.
Yeah.
So a couple of days before we released this episode, which is months after we recorded it, there is this album I found on the Digimon subreddit, which is from Imgur, and it shows line art of the different character models from Adventure and compares their models from the series versus our War Game versus 02 versus the 02 movie Revenge of Diaboromon, and it's really cool. You should check it out. There'll be a link in the show notes. It basically describes exactly what we were talking about. Also, it's hard not to like the fight scene animation. Like, the budget is so much higher than the show.
Yeah. It actually, I don't know, it turned me off as a kid because they all looked scarier.
Hmm. The way the lines are drawn are kind of weird. Like, they're not, I guess in the show, the lines are always black.
The colored lines.
Yeah, and they're black in this. So, if they're not black in this, they're colored. So that's kind of weird and can be jarring. Yeah. And Omnimon / Omegamon is really cool. So there's that.
Izzy? I was never that impressed with him.
I think he looks cooler in the show. Having him as a D-Arts figure, I'm like, oh my god, you're a stick. You're literally a stick. What is this?
I think at the time I wasn't hugely impressed by him. I don't know, I guess I expected more, like, to be him, for him to be, like, one-upped. And looking back, I'm like, no, it was like, the height of the cool things, kind of, if that makes any sense. There was a moment in the Japanese where, it's when Izzy goes to the bathroom. They're playing, like, I think War Greymon and Metal Greymon have just digivolved to their mega form. So it's playing Braveheart, which is the insert song in the Japanese. And it, I think it starts looping to, because it's like, they have this extended, Tai and Izzy have this extended moment outside of the fight scene. And it just says, like, show me your Braveheart. It just says that bait at, like, 5 seconds over and over while they're not in the fight. And then I'm like, okay, this is really weird. And then it, like, I think it's kind of implicitly shown to be because that's when the computer breaks, when Izzy leaves. So it was this weird moment where I was like, this is an accident. Wait, this is purposeful. And then it stops when Tai hits the screen.
In both of these movies, in both this movie and the last one, I was curious about how the bonds between Digimon and humans, whether it's their partner or not, work to give them power. Because, I mean, we've discussed a lot how emotion and friendship and whatever are what fuel the Digimon, along with food.
Food?
food's important in the Digiverse. And, I mean, yeah, so we got Tai's whistle. Well, Tai's whistling using Kari's whistle, powering Greymon enough to beat Parrotmon. And we've got, in this one, we've got Matt and Tai, you know, going into the internet to help where Greymon and where Garurumon fuse to Omnimon. And there's a sort of a difficulty of of disconnect in both these movies, because in the first, they don't even have their digivices yet. They haven't been selected, supposedly, as the digidestined. And in the second one, they're mostly in separate worlds, if we count the internet as a separate world.
I don't know what we count the internet as in this show.
Yeah. It sort of seems like a
bridge.
Not a world, but a place that's accessible from both worlds. Yeah, like a bridge. Over troubled waters. I will lay me down.
What were we talking about?
We were also talking about how the kids are powering their Digimon. Oh,
and is there any consistency?
With the show or within the movieverse?
Well, I don't think there's that much of a connection between this and the other movie in that regard.
You don't?
Well, I don't know. Presumably, given the explanation that we heard in Adventure, whatever power Kari and TK, whatever power TK and Kari showed to help Agumon Digivolve is what made them be chosen. So I guess it is like, it's not supposed to be a totally separate world.
TK and Kari?
Ty and Kari.
You said TK.
Oh my god, I want to punch my mouth. I don't know. I mean, what I didn't really realize before is that Omnimon Omegamon only ever shows up in the movies, and I think the movies are generally considered separate canon, kind of.
Well, they mention the movie in season 2, like halfway through.
True. But there's I guess this one doesn't seem too far off from the canon of the show. The thing I'm thinking of is the 02 movies are start to be weirder. Like, let's just, these characters have never been able to digivolve above Ultimate. Let's go to Mega on a whim to then give someone else the power to digivolve.
But no, even the season 2 movies, they still try to tie, they try to tie the first one back into the show.
Did they?
Mm-hmm. Rapidmon shows up in the show.
In season 2?
Yeah, not Rapidmon, Magnemon.
Magnemon does, right, but then it's never, but it's like a totally separate, they're never like, oh, he came back, are they?
Well, I think Magnemon shows up in the show before they go see Willis in the movie. Because then Davis is like, do what I do, blah, blah, blah. Like, he knows what the golden digi egg is. They never mention Willis again, but...
Yeah. They mention Willis in this movie.
Yeah.
They sure do.
Did you have more about the power, though?
No, I just thought... I mean, we had questions about how Digimon in the real world work differently than in the digital world. And I think the movie also doesn't really shed any light on it, but it deals with it still.
I mean, there's some really weird things implied by this movie where, at least when they're in the internet, that they have to be there. Like, the partner has to be connected to the internet, too, to make them able to move at all. Like, once Ty's internet connection breaks or whatever, like, WarGreymon can't move at all, and it's like, so I guess he's not just cheering him on, he's actually needed to power that, and it's also tied into when their internet starts lagging out because of getting lots of email, which is not really how email works, but okay.
But why does it make sense? They also got online through Jenna's thing.
Huh?
I don't know. Shouldn't it be like, if Jenna's internet was crappy, nothing makes sense, no.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense. That's basically the story of the movies.
Yeah.
I did like, there was one line inserted, I'm pretty sure it was not in the dub, and they inserted in the dub about when WarGreymon and MetalGreymon are being slowed down by getting so many emails. In the dub, he says something like, he says like some computer gibberish that's like kind of actually close to being real computer jargon, so I kind of, it's like, it's better than his normal hit rate of saying random words. But it still doesn't make, but he says something about like routing the emails through to his local memory or something. That doesn't make sense, but like, I bought that on, okay, he like routed the emails away or something, so they're not bogging down the connection, and then later like routes them to Diaboromon. But in I'm pretty sure in the Japanese they don't say, they kind of like, WarGreymon and MetalGreymon are being slowed down by the emails, and then once they DNA digivolve or Jogress or whatever, they are not bogged down for, I don't know, because the emails are cool now or something. Like, they don't explain why the emails are okay now.
Yeah, I'd always been confused
because they're made out of email.
True.
It's the new chain mail.
I had memories of like they somehow got the kids to stop emailing them, and then that did not happen. I was like, wow, I just totally wrote that into my own little personal
they did
Digimon
not,
movie.
They did not get the kids to stop emailing. I mean, I always assumed that Izzy's routing thing worked.
What other weird things are there with powers? I mean, the Digivolution to Omnimon, Omegamon, I thought it was justified. You know, like, there hadn't been a situation that was this dire before to find new powers. And in this kind of, it does make you wonder, like, when they're fighting Paimon, like, they also, as WarGreymon and MetalGurumon, could not defeat him. And fighting Apocalypsemon had, like, also could not beat him as WarGreymon and MetalGurumon, so why didn't it activate then? But it wasn't just the two of them ever.
Well, I mean, Omnimon needed all of the power of those other kids, which was not available in either of those situations.
I guess the animation shows that.
Because, I mean, he's more made of that energy, like, physically, if you look at him, he's more made out of stuff that isn't WarGreymon or MetalGurumon than he is. They're just his arms.
True. That's the one reason that I like, I mean, I'm going to make people who are Japanese purists angry, but that I like the name Omnimon. I mean, I still don't understand why they changed it, but it does fit more with the way he's introduced by being a collection of everyone. And in case anyone doesn't know, like, Omni as a prefix means all. Like, omniscient means, like, all knowledgeable, omnipresent, present everywhere, omnipotent, all powerful. So yeah, it made sense that it's like he's an amalgam of all these people, so it's made sense that he's Omni. And Omega also makes sense because it's like he is the last evolution of adventure. So it's like he's the last letter of the Greek alphabet, Omega. But yeah, I like both names, I guess. I don't understand why they changed it.
I don't understand either.
Maybe it was too close to Mega as a form, and they thought
Dumb
American children would be confused.
I never thought of that. It's like, yeah, why is this? We already have Mega forms. Why do you have Omega form?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, man.
Stop thinking that children are stupid, cartoon.
You know what would have been really cool? Oh my god, I want to rewrite all Digimon, but like, instead of having forms like, you know, like, what is it, rookie, champion, they should have been alpha, beta, like, they should have been named, like, that makes sense in computers too, like, alpha versions and beta versions, and oh my god, that would have been, and then you would have had, like, alpha, beta, gamma, how many stages are there? There's like, oh, it would have been so good, and then, like, you know, like, Agumon would be, like, the beta version. I want to do it now.
Go for it.
I think that would actually get really confusing.
Why?
Because there are Digimon that are actually named a lot of those
true
letters.
Like Betamon and Alphamon. I think like all of them. Wait, like is there Gammamon?
Alphamon?
Alphamon? Oh my god, actually.
Oh my god.
Do you even Digimon?
Nope. I am the one who does not Digimon on this Digimon podcast.
he's the ultimate form of the, not ultimate, I mean, he's the final form of the dude in X-Evolution, little rat dude. The main character of X-Evolution movie.
Oh, that's
which we saw, but don't remember any of.
I remember that little cute thing.
he's like part of the, I was going to say Elite Four, which is not what I mean. Knights.
Oops.
The Elite Four, huh, Jeff? I see where your loyalties lie.
Hey, you're the one that likes Pokemon a lot.
I am the one that likes Pokemon.
You have to order that Pokemon jersey.
I do.
So what were we talking about?
We were talking about Omnimon.
Oh, right. And I got on tangent about his name. Yeah. So, oh, yeah, and I was saying, like, I thought things were dire enough that his evolution was justified compared to the first movie of 02, where Patamon and Gatumon digivolved to Megaform on a whim.
They needed to blah, blah, blah.
To unlock a different digivolution to a weaker form.
Yeah, right?
Can we talk about how, like, Patamon and Tentomon were totally useless?
I was ready for Patamon. I thought I remembered Angemon doing something in this movie, but nope.
No, next movie.
Oh, yeah, but is he? I think he might be in, may have confused him. I think he does something in Revenge of Diabormon.
Maybe?
Because I thought I remembered him being in the internet space.
I just thought it was so funny that, like, when Izzy walked away because he was sick from whatever, Ty's mom's cooking, that, like, Ty eventually gave an order to Tentomon, like, Tentomon, circle around. And I was like, what? How's that at all helpful?
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
The thing that he said. It's quality.
Ty, the general.
Yeah, according to the roles I listed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I was annoyed that Angemon didn't play more of a role, but...
Yeah, I think I thought that the kids stopped emailing them because if... Like, can't they hear Ty and Izzy speaking? Is that not... How did the Digimon hear them speaking? But then
I don't know.
It's
whatever the plot needs it to be.
Okay. Pretty much.
This movie hurt my brain. This is clearly the thing I'm trying to get at.
I thought it was... I think his line is only in the dub. I don't think there's any equivalent in the Japanese. But I actually can't remember who it was. It's one of the Digimon when they see everyone in Gen9's little Zen garden digital page thing. Mm-hmm. One of the Digimon says, like, the evil Dark Masters were cupcakes compared to this guy.
Oh yeah, Agumon says that.
I just thought that's such a cheap way to be it raises the stakes above the series in such a cheap way. You know, like, instead of showing him, they do show him being more dangerous than a lot of the Digimon in the show. But to just be like, I don't know. I feel like he wasn't more of a threat than the Dark Masters. He was wrecking a lot of havoc, but I feel like you put that in there just to, like, teach kids that, like, oh yeah, this is a bigger deal than the end of the show. And it totally worked for me.
How could he be a bigger deal than a Pokemon? That guy was, for serious, the scariest thing I ever saw.
See, that's weird, because I remembered thinking that he was, like, one up over, like, he was one level higher than a Pokemon, but they don't actually mention that, so I guess I just inferred that from the Dark Masters line.
Yeah, I could believe Diaboromon being scarier than the Dark Masters, because he grows really fast, and he mutates really fast. He's, like, it's not that he's a virus Digimon, he's a Digimon who is also a virus.
But that really frustrated me, they don't make a distinction. Yeah. There's, like, he's a Digimon virus type, and I'm like, wait, so wait, not a virus type Digimon, but, like, they could at least have one line be like, you know, say what you said, like, he's not a virus type Digimon, he is a Digimon that is a virus, and that would have been cooler, but instead they're just like,
yeah.
I guess the dub is never that clear about, but they do mention it briefly, but that's it.
Yep.
It's also, like, you get to see him wreak more havoc in the real world. He's wreaking havoc all over the world, not just, like, there were Digimon in the real world, so they blew up some buildings in this one part of Japan.
Right.
It's a little hollow for me, though, because the havoc he wreaks isn't actually, it's, like, all mischievous, you know, like, he's changing lights. We don't see people, like, dying as a result, or people actually,
but they would have.
That means people can't.
I can see that. I can extrapolate
do anything.
That, I can extrapolate from that, but, like,
he also launched a nuclear warhead. Okay.
That's true. Yeah, that is true.
In English, he launched two, right?
Yes, in English, he launched two. We never see the second one. Supposedly, it's heading for Colorado.
No. Yes. The second one, we do see it fly over Mimi. Okay, well.
No, if it was launched from America, that's the way to Japan.
Right, that's true. So they show that missile flying over Mimi, and in the Japanese, there's only one missile, so it's like, okay, that's clearly flying to Japan. But I thought the way it was framed in English implied. No. It is explained. They say that the other missile, like, it's really poorly explained, but it's like, Kai's like, Izzy's like, there are two missiles, and then starts talking about how one of them has been intercepted as has been redirected to Hawaii, to near Hawaii or something. You know, says, like, to the water. They say that one of them, like, they were successful in hacking into one of them to make it not go off.
He said it was successful?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was really quick, though. It was, like, basically in the context of describing the fact that they couldn't hack into the one going to Japan, they also said they were able to do the other one, and, like, I don't know, it's really loose with, like, in the Japanese, it's clear that Izzy has a network of child prodigies that are hacking into things, and in the dub, they kind of merge all the ones that are directly referenced into Willis, so I think that line is even more confusing, because he starts talking about people that aren't Willis. I don't know. I'm in my usual place of having watched both, I get confused about details, and which was in which.
Yeah.
One thing I really liked was how, I'm probably thinking about too much, but when, I forget who it is, but they ask Ty and TK, I get their names so confused. They asked TK and Matt if they had their Digivices. They packed with them on their trip where they were off on a trip somewhere. So it would totally be reasonable if they didn't have their Digivices. And TK's like, no, of course we have them. And of course it's necessary for the plot, but I read into that as, like, they keep them around all the time because they're always hoping for the Digimon to come back.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you interpret it that way?
That's how I read it. Perfectly legitimate interpretation.
It's a memento of their grand adventure.
I feel bad interpreting that way because it's like, that's the only way the plot could progress, right? Like, they, from a writing perspective, they have their Digivices with them because they need to.
But they still have them in season two, too. They have them on them.
Really?
Yeah, Ty has his Digimon on, has his Digivice on him when he goes to, when he gets sucked in or wherever, whatever happens to him, where he meets Agumon again. And he's like, why can't you Digivolve? It's just like riding a bicycle.
Did you say that?
He says, it's just like riding a bicycle, now start pedaling and Digivolve.
I wanted to talk about the inclusion of characters in this movie. So, if anyone hasn't seen it recently, it The primary focus is on Tai and Izzy. Izzy kind of like is the one who notices Diaboromon. What's his original form?
Karamon.
No, there's something like the baby one. I mean,
Kuragemon? Kuramon.
Okay, Kuramon. Notices him hatching and comes to Tai, and then they work through everything, and eventually they get TK and Matt on the phone and Skype with them. And Kari's there briefly, but aside from that, it's really just those four. And
Sora's there.
Sora comes to the door and is like, I don't want to go in. And but I feel like it's weird because the story they wanted to tell was about Omegamon, Omnimon, right? So it made sense they, you know, wanted to focus on those characters, and you kind of need Izzy to explain what's going on with the internet and the digital stuff. And TK, you know, makes sense to do with Matt. So I understand not having everyone there, but I especially noticed this in regards to like how Tai kept calling Kairi and like asking her to come home, and she'd be like, oh, I can't, we're about to blow out the candles. And he's like, okay, well, come home once you're done with the candles. And then he calls again, and she's like, I can't because I'm winning this card game. I'll come back after. He's like, okay, come back after. And it's like, if you would just say, there's a Digimon destroying the internet. I need your Digimon help. Just say the word Digimon, and like anyone would have come in a heartbeat. So probably that's where my frustration comes from.
What I super hated, though, was that Izzy calls Sora, and then they keep referring to Tai, like, do you want to talk to Tai? And I'm like, why wouldn't Sora's mom have just been like, Izzy wants to talk to you?
That was super weird.
I did not understand.
Well, does Sora's mom actually know Tai? I know Sora has known Tai for a long time, but Sora's mom doesn't attend her soccer games or whatever.
I would assume they, like, you know, they were all standing there
She seems to recognize Tai's number, is what I thought.
I mean, all the parents were standing there watching them throughout the Dark Masters arc. I think they would have, like, gotten to know each other. You know, because you can't just stare at the sky for that long without starting a conversation. And especially since Odaiba was all torn to the ground, like...
Yeah, nothing else to do.
So this movie has to take place at least within enough time for them to rebuild Odaiba. One really minor thing that I don't know if this is intentional or not, but I don't recall if this actually, the shot was in the dub, but in the Japanese version, it opens with Bolero, and I was like, oh no, not more Bolero. And the, like the shot of the digi egg that Paratmon came from above Hikarioka and the apartment building, and then it like disappears, and then it shows like it's like, you know, middle of the day and Sora's walking by, and I'm like, so Sora went to their childhood home just for like funsies, like, why is she over there? That's really far from where they actually live. And I don't know if it was like just to have that shot of them, her being in the same place, or like if she's actually retreading her past, and I don't know.
Well, I was confused by the timeline because she goes to Tai's. I don't know. She goes home first, then goes to Tai's?
Yeah.
I guess so. But yeah, so it frustrates me that all these characters, if they had just said the word Digimon, they would have gotten the phone right away.
Right.
For Mimi, who's away. But then I'm like, but the story, the reason they're so contrived about it is because the story they wanted to tell was about Tai and Matt. And you talked a bunch before about how, I can't remember if it was the producer or director. There was feedback last time about how I said it was producer or director, and then someone was like, no, it's the director, not the producer. I think that was it. Or did they say it was the producer, not the director? I think it's the director. One of the directors of Digimon mentioned how Matt and Sora were planned to be a couple from the start, and how the writers of this movie didn't have that knowledge, and how if you're telling a story about Tai, it makes sense, like you want to have some kind of romantic subplot, then like Sora is the obvious pick, and that kind of frames the whole relationship thing in a weird way going forward. I don't know. I get frustrated thinking about how like Sora was there, could have been helpful, came to the door and just didn't knock. Like, I feel like it diminishes her.
She's mad at Tai, yo.
But Tai, like, belittles her in a really weird way to be like, she could have helped us, but she was mad at Tai.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, but she couldn't have helped because, like, Garurumon, you know, wouldn't have done as much as Omegamon or Onimon could. I don't know.
She still could have helped.
Yeah.
Everyone could have helped.
I don't know how much I buy that. Like, yeah, sure, in the, like, we want our friends, yay, friendship way, sure. I mean, once you're facing, like, millions of Diaboromon, I don't think one, who are all mega level, one little ultimate isn't going to really help much.
They could have helped clear them.
So that's the thing. Like, I don't think given the enemies they faced, they could have. Like, people like, or Digimon like Garurumon could have helped. But I wish the scenario where one, where there could have been a threat that they helped.
Yeah.
I guess this is kind of what happened with Piedmon, how, like, WarGreymon, Metal Gurumon, and Magna Agumon were the only ones who were actually a threat to Piedmon, but everyone else was able to help in some way, because fighting the other Vilemon and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I just wish everyone could have helped out. Because it's weird for this to be a follow-up to the series, and then be like, and it only has a couple of the characters.
It's so hard to show all of them, though.
Yeah. I think that's all my frustrations and thoughts about that.
I just didn't like the tie-in Sora subplot, because it was like, it ran throughout as... Like, it framed the movie from the beginning, yeah. In a way. It was, like, the second shot or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It's just... And then it becomes important in his fight with Izzy, as he breaks the computer or whatever, and then Ty refuses to take, like, responsibility for it, and then they have a whole deep conversation about Ty and whatever. It's like, I didn't see the connection between these two, but okay, you're really forcing him in.
Yeah, and, like, even then... Ty's like, it was sort of my fault, but then when he tells the story, Sora just comes off as completely irrational about it, and
yeah.
The treatment of girls in this movie is horrendous. Like, I can't even begin to criticize it in a constructive way. It's just...
Yeah.
Mimi is off getting tan in Hawaii.
So yeah, I, this is kind of how I was thinking about it, that the girls should have been more helpful, but they also couldn't have been, given that the power dynamics are such that the only strong, like, the main characters are Ty and Matt, and they're the ones who get really strong Digimon, and...
I just felt like having... It was like, in the end, it was Izzy, Ty, Matt, and TK, which is half of them, and then literally the other half is all of the girls
and Joe,
who was supposed to be the jokey man.
I never even thought of that.
So it's like...
Yeah.
Really?
That is really weird. That's like...
It's weird? It's not weird. I completely expect this at this point.
Sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, this movie, I feel like it could have used some more girls, but I feel like I did not think of it as actually being, like, borderline offensive in a way that's like, when you think of it as, like, it has all the characters except for Joe and the girls. Like, that just seems so...
Very blah. And it's like, okay, you justified it earlier as, like, Izzy is the computer guy. It wants to focus on Ty. It also wants to focus on Matt, and he's attached to TK, but then I'm like, so it would have made sense if Kari was there, because Kari is attached to Ty. Like,
yeah. And they didn't even focus on Matt that much.
Yeah.
It was just kind of there.
Yeah, I feel like we shouldn't focus too much about, like, the story as it was written and trying to tweak it. Because, I mean, what really should happen is the story should have been written with these kind of considerations in mind. You know, like, it shouldn't be like, well, Kari could have been there. Because, like, well, Kari, it wouldn't have worked. Because it would have been three people in one room. It would have been crowded. It wouldn't have had the same interactions.
Really?
But a different scenario, a completely different scenario could have been written where she was included. And that's, I think, what more. I'm just saying, if your argument shouldn't be Kari could have been in the room with them, because, like, there were...
I still think that's a completely plausible thing.
Then they couldn't have talked about Sora. They couldn't have had, like, a bro-to-bro discussion.
Why? Kari's the one who sent the email.
Yeah.
Click.
You gotta go click. Yeah. I don't know, so is this overall a good follow-up to the series? How is it as a follow-up to the series?
It is a thing that happens.
It is a thing that happens.
They do follow up. They show everyone.
Yes.
They follow up, and they're a Digimon.
I mean, in a way, we can see their transition from who they were in season one to who they were in season two.
Well, I don't remember who they are in season two yet.
You'll find out. Mimi moves to America. This is one step on her journey.
Yeah, this is... It's true.
Her journey to being excluded and...
He was like, I love Hawaii so much, I just have to move to America.
Yeah, then she moves to New York, which is...
Yeah, not even Hawaii, though. It's gonna go to the other coast now. Far.
Yep.
Does Sora start wearing hairpins? Is that a thing that happens? It is a thing that happens.
Yeah,
right?
I think it is a thing.
Ooh.
Maybe. All I can remember is she plays tennis instead of soccer.
Yeah, whatever.
I wonder, though, if, well, okay, first of all, it was cool to, I guess Yoli's the only one that's introduced this way, but that was a cool moment. Once they had designs finalized for the other characters to show one of them as just people spectating.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't Ryo there, too?
That confused me.
Yeah, he was there.
I couldn't remember, I feel like, was he not in the Japanese, or did I just miss it?
No, he must have been there.
Yeah, he had to have been there.
Yeah, I don't know how they could have added that. But
yeah.
Otherwise. But I forget the canon, because I guess it makes sense. He was supposed to be, like, he went on adventures with Ken, but at that point, okay, that makes sense, because, like, if there were 4 years in between, that could have been before he went on the adventures, and before he got brought into the whatever, Tamer's universe.
I'm just more like, did they go look back at this movie and be like, let's find a character who had a nice design. Oh, that guy, let's put him in season 3. Like, I don't want
to... for Ryo? No.
Yeah.
Let me look at the timeline of the WonderSwan games, but I'm pretty sure. Given how they explain, I'm pretty sure Ken, trying to think, when does Ken actually explain? Because, so they show Ryo in a shot when Ken is explaining what happened to him when he got the Dark Spore.
Oh.
And so I don't think that's that far into the series, so I would not be surprised if they already written that at this point. But I'm going to do a horrible job explaining this WonderSwan games, but from what I have, what I remember of what I've heard, they are all focused on Ryo, and in at least one of them, he partners with Ken, and that's the scenario that happens where some form of Millennium Dramon or Millenniumon. I did not say Millennium Dramon. Millenniumon.
Okay.
Infects Ken and implodes and sucks up Ryo. And I'm wondering, though, like, what the writing process was for... It makes a lot of sense for when they're writing Tamers instead to be like, this Ryo guy has been popular in the games. Let's bring him into the show. And I'm pretty sure the manga that Tamers is based on does not have Ryo. So it makes sense as an executive decision that was done after the fact. But I'm wondering about Ken. Like, was Ken in the games first and then pulled into the show because of that? Or the other way around? I don't know. There's another, like, so many different things. There's like anime, manga, and games all being created around the same time. I don't know, man. But I wouldn't be surprised if they drew Ryo just from his presence in the games. I would like, if anyone knows more about this, to hear about it, but my guess now is that he was popular in the games, so they drew him this one shot as a character who could have plausibly witnessed it. Although, isn't he shown outside?
Yeah.
He's like
hiking.
But aren't they all...
Some other kid.
But aren't they all shown, like, with screens?
Yeah, he was on a laptop. Yeah,
he has a computer.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, I see.
That other kid has a, like, hatchet, though. I don't know what's going on there.
This image we're talking about will be in the show notes. Yeah, I was hoping maybe it was Ken, or Ken's brother was with him or something, but no, it's just a dude with a hatchet.
Yeah, it's just a guy.
That's a weird hatchet. I don't know what that is.
It's like I don't know what that is. Something to cut something.
I'm not convinced it is actually sharp. I don't know, whatever.
What? I think it's supposed to be.
What are we talking about?
I don't know what we're talking about.
We were talking about Ryo for some reason, and...
You were talking about the inclusion of other, like, Yoli being introduced was cool, and then I was like, wasn't Ryo introduced?
Oh, wait, we're still talking about, like, the follow-up aspect, and... Oh. Yeah, I thought it was a cool way to one-up. You know, it would have been pretty lame if they were just like, well, Greymon has another forearm he's going to digivolve into, and this is a cool, unexpected way to, you know, like, you wouldn't think to combine them, and then it's cool that becomes a plot mechanic of season 2. That's nice.
Cool. Yeah.
What else is there to evaluate as a follow-up?
I don't know.
Oh, TK's wearing his hat that he wears in season 2.
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, I feel like it's easier to evaluate the first movie as an intro than it is to evaluate this as a follow-up. Because, like, what does a follow-up have to do? I don't know.
I don't know, but Sora is wearing TK's clothes in the first movie. TK's season 2 clothes.
Yes.
So, create all the crazy fanfiction you can based on that.
I am pretty sure that TK Sora is actually a fairly popular ship.
There you go, guys!
Answer questions. Do Tai and Kari still share a bunk bed?
Yes. Yes. They still have it in season 2, actually.
Aren't they a little old for that?
What?
I believe. Yeah, they do. They do.
And according to the dub, Tai is supposed to be 16 at that point.
I guess if they live in a one-bedroom
apartment. It's got to be a two-bedroom apartment.
Or, like, two-bedroom apartment with their parents, yeah. Huh,
that's so creepy.
You want an unanswered question?
Yeah, that's the only question.
It's a good question.
It's worthy.
Oh, okay, I had one lingering question, I guess. We talked about, like, Omegamon being renamed Omnimon. And another thing I didn't notice until watching, I think it's the first time I actually watched the movie in Japanese. So, like, the title is Bokura no War Game. The title card in the Japanese version says Children's War Game in English text. So I don't understand why there's that weird title card.
I can't answer that for you. I can only answer you questions about the bunk bed. I can answer you questions about children's sleeping arrangements, apparently. That's what I'm good for.
Do we have any other questions?
I've seen this movie too many times. I just accept everything I should question at this point.
Well, all the digital stuff just, like, makes no sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just can't even. I already asked questions. Oh, ridiculous dialogue draft time. All right, ridiculous dialogue draft, where we go around and pick our top three funniest, most ridiculous, or most touching lines from the movie. We're only going
to
do two.
Okay, I was about to ask.
I guess it's a draft.
It's still a draft. You're only drafting one.
I don't.
Like, you're picking your dude.
Picking your champion.
Yeah, your representative. Your slave that you're gonna.
Okay, let's go back and say that for last episode that it was actually actually, no, for this one it makes more sense. It's like Hunger Games. We're picking our candidates.
Okay. Yeah, we're picking our tributes to go fight. We're betting on them
in the arena.
To the death. Yeah. In this children's war game. So, there we go.
So my first one is Ty's asking Izzy a question about computers. He's like,
Izzy, you're a genius. How does it work?
And Izzy's like,
well, do you know what a semiconductor is?
And Ty says,
a guy who works part-time on a train?
And I was like,
it was so clever, like, kind of wordplay. Right?
So, yeah. Sure.
Oh my gosh, Jeff, are you going to be, like, that guy? Are you going to be that guy, Jeff?
Jeff is always that guy.
I'm just saying a semiconductor had nothing to do with what they were talking about.
I know.
Right.
But I don't care, because it was funny.
The point is that Ty was like, I realize that this is wrong, but I'm going to say it, because I'm kind of clever.
Sure. So, like, when Izzy says things that make no sense, that, like, it comes off more as the writers not actually knowing the technology. I think in this case, it was clearly, like, there have been plenty in the series earlier on, especially where it's, like, not for comedic value. It's just, you know, it's supposed to be him being smart and then doesn't come off smart. At least this has comedic value. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, my turn. So, I guess this is the second time that Ty calls Kari at the birthday party.
I can't come home. You don't understand. The magician's coming over later and I already volunteered to be sawed in half.
And Ty's like,
whatever. Just tell the half with feet to run home soon.
I know. I love the movie. I'm terrible. Terrible. I'm trash.
So, mine is from the very beginning. I think it's when Izzy, before he even meets up with Ty, she's like on his own and like noticing stuff going on, and he says,
prodigious! A computer virus on the internet!
And, like, the way he says it, it's clearly like, oh my god, a computer virus on the internet! And, like, yeah, where else do they live?
Right? Okay, Izzy. You be excited about your virus on the internet. Also, I like how a bunch of people were looking at the virus, apparently. Like, is that a normal thing that happens? I go again! Alright, I'm actually gonna pick one I didn't write down. And it's, near the beginning of the movie when Izzy goes to Ty's, and he's like,
about the egg!
Huh?
The egg is already hatched!
And Ty's just like, and looks at the egg in his hand, and he's just like,
oh, not that egg!
Huh.
A digi-egg!
It's just like, Ty is a magnificent specimen of a human being, and I'm proud to call him my favorite gogglehead.
That line, I found really funny, and then I was curious what it was in Japanese, and Japanese is the same line.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy!
It made me realize, though, like, watching this one in both the Japanese and the dub, that it's a lot more faithful than I would have expected.
Yeah. It's the next part that gets really wonky in the dub.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This one is, it's faithful in weird ways. It's faithful with, like, lines of dialogue, but then adds the Kari narration,
mm-hmm.
Which this is a weird time to go into, but I'll make it brief. The Kari narration, if anyone doesn't know, was added because Jeff Nimoy originally planned for the movie that was released in the U.S. to just be the ones about Digimon Adventure. So ending with this, like, ending once the missile landed, and then was kind of, like, forced to include the season 2 stuff and really didn't like that decision and had to, like, after the fact, adding Kari's narration throughout to give it, like, a through line mm. instead of just being three random different things. Mm-hmm. And apparently it was those artistic disagreements and differences that eventually led him to be kicked out near the end of Tier 2. Like, he didn't even finish Tier 2 before he was kicked out, apparently. This is what I've heard from, like, interviews with him.
And it doesn't make sense for Kari to narrate this second one because she's barely
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
So she, like, is not privy to what Izzy and Tyre doing, so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been worse. You know, like, they describe it as if she has heard about the things after the fact and is telling you about it after the fact, but it still seems really jarring and weird.
My turn. Yes. Okay, this is when Matt and TK finally join, and so Gabumon and Patamon can be on the internet or whatever. Gabumon says,
"Sorry we're late."
Patamon says,
"I was surfing in that and I wiped out."
Huh? Gabumon and Patamon!
Is TK on this ride?
He's not tall enough.
I had that one written down.
Yeah, that was really good too. And I was like, okay, she's not going to say it. She's going to cut off with wipe out. I got wiped out. And nope, you just had to say like three different quotes in there.
Yes.
Gobble them all up.
Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, that's how I roll.
Ooh, you're my angry Jeffrey.
So this is Izzy is helping Ty's mom prepare their cake. There's a weird through, in addition to the Sora subplot, there's a weird through line to the movie of Ty's mom baking a cake because Ty was jealous of Kari getting a cake at a party.
Oh, yeah.
But Izzy is like pouring flour for her, and in the dub, he says,
"So do I have enough of this stuff?"
And Ty's mom replies,
"Beats me. It's the first time I've used flour to make a cake."
It's like, what else do you use? There are ways. But
magic ways.
They're like gluten-free cakes, but I doubt that's what she meant. You can find the show notes for this episode with detailed links and images of everything we discuss at podiges.com/13. You should also post comments there with your favorite Riddick dialogue draft pick, or just discuss anything we brought up, or our war game in general. You should subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us a written review, because a higher iTunes rating really helps new people find the show, helps us find dormant Digimon fans, make them fellow listeners, and bring them into the community and get everyone discussing things together. We don't have any new written reviews in iTunes this week, but leave one before the next episode and we'll thank you on air. Also, in addition to written reviews, I recently noticed that all of our star ratings in iTunes are from the United States. I know we have listeners outside the States too, and it'd be really cool to see lots of countries represented. So if you live outside the States, it'd be awesome if you left an iTunes rating, and I'll track the new countries represented each episode. We post lots of cool stuff on different social networks, like my tweet joking about the Adventure 2015 reveal. Ty wakes up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy, grabs his Digimon at the door, gonna hit the Digiworld. You should follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Tumblr. Next time on Podigious, the gang discusses their overall thoughts on Adventure as a whole. Bye.
Bye.
And remember, never stop Digiworld. Okay.
Such a girl.
Oh, wow, 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 wow. Welcome to episode 13 of Podigious, your critically nostalgic analytical tour through the Digimon multiverse.
Thanks for this torture.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, kinda.
Moshi moshi.
Am I back?
Moshi moshi.
Yes.
Moshi moshi, moshi moshi, moshi moshi, moshi moshi.
Okay, Jeff, I hear you.
I was quoting the show. In Japanese, Inframon does that or something. It says like moshi moshi, moshi moshi, moshi.
Yes, he does.
Super creepy.
He does
though.
It in English too.
But it's not moshi moshi.
I have a lot of this part of the movie memorized, okay?
Got it memorized?
Yes. So I do.
I have recently started riding a bicycle again, and it is hard to get back into. Like, I can... So the thing that people know my problem was with when they learn how to ride a bicycle is balancing, and I have no trouble balancing. I just suck at everything else. So.
Everything else like what?
Going forward.
No, like, you're supposed to do hand signals with one hand.
Oh.
And, like, I can't stay balanced if I only am gripping the handlebars with one hand. Not to mention zero hands, like the song. And what else is there? Like, standing upright. Not saying it, but, like, you know, not sitting down and pedaling. Like, I'm so afraid I'll lose my balance if I do that.
So it sounds like you do have balance problems, just under certain conditions.
I can sit on the bike and balance. I don't feel comfortable doing other stuff while on the bike. Jeff Learns How to Ride a Bike podcast.
I am pretty sure that TK Sora is actually a fairly popular ship.
There you go, guys.
Is it Takora?
No, it's probably Sokeru, yeah.
Yeah. I like Takora, because it's like Takora. Which is coming back in a week.
Oh, yeah? A week?
I think it's kind of confusing, actually. I think it's like the first three episodes are going to be dumped on Nick.com or something.
Oh.
apparently they're doing something like it's been leaked, so they're going to release it early on Nick.com and not actually on TV.
Yeah.
It's weird because the season two, there was a lot of criticism about how Nick, in the way it showed the episodes, like it would show them a week earlier on Nick.com. Like, it seemed like they didn't care, and they put them in like time slots that no one watched and stuff. They didn't care about the show. And it's like, this is the best thing that Nick is releasing at the now. Like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they're releasing Digimon, so I guess we shouldn't.
Ooh.
It's...
JK, Digimon is the thing. Okay.
So we recorded this episode way back on June 21st, which was about a week before Korra started airing, and it's now the beginning of September, and it's been a couple weeks since Korra finished airing. And we're talking about weird things that happened in season two, but Nick went even further and took it off the air on TV in the middle of season three, in the middle, without even telling the creators until it happened. Yeah, which is even weirder. So I record that extra voiceover in the beginning of September, and in the time it's taking me to edit the podcast, there's been even more news about Korra, and season four is going to air in a month. So in the time it's taken us to make this episode, Korra season three has aired, been taken off the air, gone online, finished, and season four has been announced for next month. Hopefully this episode will be out before season four actually starts. I apparently convinced the guy from Hop to keep watching Orphan Black.
Anthony Birch, you convinced him to keep watching Orphan Black?
He tweeted something like, now that I quit Orphan Black and a couple other shows, I noticed that none of the shows I watch have female leads, which I watch. And I was like, you quit Orphan Black? What? And I was like, what did you like about it? And then he replied and was like, oh, like, I don't know. I quit after like episode three of season two because there wasn't any stakes for the clones and they pretended that you cared about this one character. And I replied and was like, yeah, it gets better though. And you actually do come to care that character or learn to care about her. And then he replied to me and someone else and was like, God damn it. Now you guys have convinced me to keep watching it. So victory.
How dare you. Victory. Female leads, yo. This
is like four different female leads that are all the same actor.
Okay. Jeff tries to talk to me about this and I don't watch it and it hurts my head.
Well, because I talk in particular at the moments where the clones act as each other undercover.
That sounds really
amazing. It's so well done though, because like, I generally hate in shows or like in media criticism when people talk about how good actors are, because I feel like there is some to that, but it's also like what the director chooses to keep, like what scenes and shots the director chooses to keep matters a lot more than like what the actor does, you know, like because the actor has to be good, but the director has to get them to do the good things. Anyway, in this show, I feel like it's completely warranted to just say the actor is amazing because she is so, like, she'll act as one character who then acts as a different character, and it'll be like 80% right with 20% of the original character's mannerisms. It's like, oh, it's so good, and it's subtle, and the show has an undertone about like what men do to women. So there are a lot of times when like they strong women who are controlled by men, and I kind of don't like that, but they generally then like kill them, so that's cool.
Should it have been called Men Who Hate Women?
Men Who Hate the Same Woman Clone Multiple Times, yes. I thought this movie had a weird undertone of being about empowering kids. So in the dub, they refer a lot to Willis, like Izzy will be communicating with Willis through email. And in the Japanese, it's a couple different, like, prodigious... Is that the word I'm looking for?
You're looking for precocious.
Looking for the adjective of prodigy. Yeah, precocious kids who are like... You know, one is a friend in LA. He was in elementary school and takes college classes. And these are just like young kids, young friends that he has on the internet who are like being more helpful than adults. And there's also this weird, I don't understand why Ty's mom is ignorant to everything that's going on. That really frustrates me. It especially, I've been like, when people have seen the Digimon movie out of context of seeing the show and thought it was a show that's just like about the adults being stupid and ignorant because of this. And it's like, no, it actually is more complex than that. Like, it's about the relationship with the parents too, and they get involved too. But the movie undersells it and makes it seem like the adults are just idiots. I feel like the movie didn't actually have much to say about that compared to something like Fully Clue, which is only six episodes and, you know, like, does much more about the, like, tension between kids and adults than this says. It's just like, oh yeah, they're a couple kids and they're cool and the adults don't know anything. I don't know. I'm gonna cut this segment.
Okay.
It's hard to dub in, too, because then I have to cut it up so then you say, like, and Ty says, and I have to put in the Ty said thing, and I have to cut it and then be like, and Gabumon said. It's hard. Life's hard. Is that a burp or a yawn?
I think it was some combination of
those. That's gross.
I didn't hear Jeff's last quote.
It wasn't that funny.
Okay.
Just, can you pretend to laugh now and I'll dub it in? My quote was, Oh, when Ty's mom says she's never used flour to bake before. Which then, once you didn't laugh, I started being like, was what I said wasn't funny? Like, I mean, because you could, she could have been baking gluten-free stuff. And then I'm like, is it not that ridiculous? And anyway. The next piece of feedback is Pixel sifting his litter. And I can always, like, rewind time and go back to the podcast. Well, it's gonna, Kari's whistle is gonna play over this, so.